You're listening to Super Action Bros, a podcast to talk about movies with explosions and car chases.
And werewolf men who apparently have nards.
Well, yeah, werewolves got nards.
Yeah, that's the best line in the movie.
Is that the best line in the movie?
I think so.
It's up there.
Well, it's either that or the line Dracula says to that little girl, because it comes out of left field and it made me laugh and laugh and laugh.
That's mean.
Speaking of the movie, hello, everybody. Welcome to Super Action Bros.
I'm Ryan.
And I'm Ian. Welcome to Son of Monster Mash Monthtober, or Monster Mash Monthtober. I think it's three. Is this four or three?
This is three. So Son of.
Yeah, Son of Monster Mash Monthtober, because we're one episode shorter than normal, so it's
right. Yeah, it's baby.
In which this time we watched a classic 80s cult film.
He put air quotes. You missed it.
But no, it is well known. It's an 80s cult film. What I would say is the forgotten kids on bikes movie, and for reasons, that is Monster Squad. We're going to talk about that here in a moment. Before we get to that, though, a couple ways you can reach out to our show if you like what you hear and you want to suggest movies for us to watch or tell us what you think about a movie. You can do that by reaching out to us at stuffandthingsnetwork.com. So go there, click on the Super Action Bros artwork, and you can listen to the show right there on the website. You can subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. There's links for that, as well as links to our social media. We have Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr, and Instagram, as well as Letterboxd. So you can subscribe to us on there to follow us, I guess. Follow us? I don't know what the difference. I mean, really, it's the same thing.
Yeah, it's pretty much following on all the different services.
You can also follow us individually on Twitter if you want to hear me talk to the people at Critical Role, which is what I've been doing recently on Twitter. Ian, you can find me on Twitter at irich. That's at irich.
I'm on Twitter also if you like music or comic books or movies,
I like those
or
things too.
Deep thoughts. I'm on Jack Twitter, Ryan Roop, RyanRuppe.
You can also email us too. There is a link on the front page that says contact us. You can email us and shoot us an email, and we'll talk about it here on the show. So all of that at stuffandthingsnetwork.com. So Ryan, let's talk about Monster Squad.
All right. So the reason we watched this movie is because we were instructed to do so.
Yeah.
By my sister.
I've heard multiple times, too, that like Monster Squad's an undiscovered gem and all this stuff.
I heard you have to watch this movie because it's ridiculous.
But I've also heard that, too. Like, I've heard and I'll be honest, the concept of this movie is great.
No, everything about this movie is great in theory.
In theory.
It's
a movie that I'm surprised hasn't been remade at this point. If not, it should be.
They announced a remake.
Especially now with Stranger Things and all the stuff being popular.
A couple of years ago, maybe almost, goodness gracious, they announced a remake in like 2010. And then there was sort of negative reaction on the internet and they decided not to remake it. And instead they decided to make the Universal Monster Cinematic Universe, which they've now tried to start four times.
Yeah, here's the thing. Now, like with the kids with bikes thing becoming a thing again, like after Stranger Things and It, like this mm-hmm. movie is like you make a PG-13, or quite frankly, you make an R-rated version. That way, you can have cursing and all sorts of inappropriate jokes, or you can make it PG-13. If you're gonna try to be true to this movie, at least the original version, in this day and age, if you're gonna try the kind of humor they tried here, probably an R would probably be a better call. But it could also be because you can make it real scary too. For those of you who don't know what the plot of this movie, let me give you a brief, not the whole story, but basically, kids on bikes versus classic monsters.
Yeah, it's...
That's what it is.
They're a group of kids. They're the Monster Squad.
They love...
And they're fighting
these kids.
Monsters.
These kids, they love monsters.
I mean, it seems like a group of kids that I would have maybe been a part of.
To be fair, when I was like... when I was a real little kid, like maybe even like 3 or 4, I was really into monsters.
So you were like that little guy in the club.
Yeah, I was like really. I had a Universal Monsters themed birthday party.
Really?
Yeah, you with Universal. So cool. They actually had like plates.
Yeah, yeah, with the mummy
with all of them on it. Yeah,
the Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Yeah, and then my dad did it. My dad was actually pretty good. When I was a kid, he was pretty good about cake art. Like they bake a cake and then they do. He did like the monsters on it. He did like Dracula, and Frankenstein monster, and mummy and Wolfman, I think. But yeah, so I was really into, not that I had, and even as a kid though, not that I had watched any of them.
Sure. Yeah. No. I mean, like,
I just liked the monsters.
Just like how my son is really into Ghostbusters, but has never seen the movie. Yeah,
right. I think he just likes the concept.
Yeah, just the idea of busting ghosts.
Right.
Just like you.
Well, busting makes you feel good. So
monsters.
I mean,
you just
that's
like
the
idea
says.
Of monsters.
I did. I really enjoy. Like that was. I feel like now those movies, like Ghostbusters, are for kids now. What the movies in the, when I was born in 1988 and or kid in the early 90s, those movies just seemed so far away.
Yeah,
I mean, it was further away, but
yeah, for the ones that were made in the 30s,
yeah,
it was further.
But
away.
I always kind of had a soft spot for the Universal monster. Well, I mean, I'm gonna call them the Universal monsters movies, not made by Universal,
no.
But it uses. No. But let's be just frank here. It and that was not a pun for Frankenstein, but it uses the classic Universal monsters, the ones that they're known for.
Yeah, well, and let's.
They can't officially call it the Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Let's go ahead and lift them out. So we got Creature from the Black Lagoon. We got Frankenstein. We got Dracula.
Dracula's our leader.
Yeah.
Then we have a werewolf, Wolfman. Uh-huh. We have a mummy.
Mm-hmm.
We have Gilman, or Creature from the Black Lagoon, and we have the Frankenstein monster.
There you go.
I wouldn't say he's really a bad guy, though.
There are good moments
so nice.
In this movie.
There's some good like homages too to like those. I mean, come on, they have Frankenstein walk up to a little girl near a lake. By the way, a scene which was actually not even included in the Universal movie.
It was too scary.
It was too scary then.
But they also have the part where they ask the kid, "Is Frankenstein his name, or is the name of the guy who created him?"
Yeah, that.
And
yeah.
They point that out. Like they're you know they're in it. They know what they're talking about.
They like monsters. They know what they're talking about.
Well, and the scriptwriter too. Like it's not like the mom's like, "Oh, Van Halen." You know that. So many.
Oh, such a dated joke.
Oh, it's good though.
Oh man, that old Burger King though looked pretty good.
All right, let's let's talk about the people in this movie.
Let's
talk about
who made it and and then the people in it.
So one of the there's one big name in this movie when it comes to being made, and it's one of the writers. One of the writers is Shane Black.
Yeah,
he's the guy. He directed Iron Man 3. He wrote Lethal Weapon. Actually, Lethal Weapon. He sold the script for Lethal Weapon the same year this movie was made.
More recently, you said Iron Man 3. He wrote and directed Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, which we watched here in the show. Another one that I'm going to pull for at some point that we watch. It's kind of an action movie. It has action sequences in it. Not The Nice Guys.
Yeah.
Super
I've heard it's really good.
Really enjoyed it.
So he is now like a huge, you know, he's an action movie
he's
director.
He's a well-known guy.
But he was definitely, has been well-known for a long time for writing action movies. And this was basically coincides with the first action movie he ever made. This and Lethal Weapon both came out around the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty interesting to see, even from this very early, obviously very low budget movie, like his instincts as an action movie writer, he does everything that you'd want.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah,
that is
like
true.
every character has its own their own way to help the kid is the cool kid gets to do the cool stuff.
Yeah.
All the different monsters get their comeuppance. We see like we're talking about the plot, but I mean, you get to see, you get to the fireworks factory, but you get to see the trip. You get to see them prepping every weapon and then they use every weapon that they've prepped.
Yeah, they do a like, good job of showing you. Although my only,
it's
a strong focus on action, not on story so much. Like, all of a sudden, the monsters just want to kill the kids.
Sure, I mean,
it's because of one little throwaway thing that this is a movie where you have to pay attention to it because every moment is vital for you to understand the plot.
The plot is very thin.
There's no room to go to the bathroom.
It's not that it's so detailed that you're gonna miss stuff. It's just that there's hardly any plot, and if you miss that one line, then the motivation is
you know what? It's a house of cards. You put just one off, and it's all coming down.
But on the other side of it, like there are people who have made action movies recently. Let's say Jurassic World, Rogue One.
Sure.
Even the Godzilla movie. It's like, hey guys, maybe you should have watched a couple of movies like this.
Yeah.
To get to know the bones of an action movie.
Right.
These are the things an action movie needs.
I would say Jurassic World had some action in it.
I'm not saying that those movies didn't have good action scenes, but action plot, action that moves the plot forward, action that builds. Action that pays off later. This really has it, and I mean it's cheesy as heck, but the plotting of this movie, not the plotting, but the structure of this movie is undeniable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Let's talk about the rest of people who made it. The director is Fred Decker. He also was a co-writer. He's directed some other stuff. He directed RoboCop 3, or rather, he wrote RoboCop 3. But he's written
a lot more than he's directed.
Yeah, he also wrote some episodes of Star Trek Enterprise.
He also directed RoboCop 3.
Oh, okay. He also wrote five episodes of Tales from the Crypt. He's a worker. Besides that, there's not a ton of recognizable people in this movie.
Okay, I disagree. Okay. There's a couple recognizable people in this movie.
No. So you do agree that there's not a ton of people in this movie.
But I disagree that there are, well.
Are none.
There's like three or four.
All right, who we got?
Kids, nobody knows.
Nobody
kids.
Cares.
A lot of that guy actors, actually.
Yeah, but, okay, that's fair.
I have seen, let's see.
I mean, I've only seen the guy who played Frankenstein. He actually is like a Shane Black special. He was in a bunch of other Shane Black stuff. Tom Noonan. He was the bad guy in Last Action Hero. He's been in, he was on the 12 Monkeys show.
That's true. I have also seen the dude who played the Wolfman in human form.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's probably the most well-known one.
Okay.
That's Uncle Rico.
Oh, you're right. You're right. From that is Napoleon Dynamite. John Grease.
That's right. He was also in Men in Black. He's in a lot of. He's been also in the Taken movies.
Oh boy.
He's probably the most well known guy in here. Quite honestly,
the partner cop
Stan Shaw. Yes.
He's in
Rocky. Friday to me. He's in a lot of stuff. I recognize him because he's like the poor man's Keith David. I mean, I'm sorry. It's the truth. It's like he's like the oh, you can't get Keith David.
Well, get this guy. Yeah,
this guy's pretty close.
And then also one of the bullies is easily recognizable as the bully from The Wonder Years.
Jason Harvey. Yes. David Proval is in here. He is one of the pilots. The pilot that Dracula drops.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Or he tries to drop Dracula.
Yeah.
He's a character actor. He's been in The Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, that's right.
He was in Four Rooms. He's been in a lot. He has some really. If you ever watch Four, a lot of people don't like Four Rooms. I will argue that Four Rooms is
that's that movie that of, Quentin Tarantino, Robert Rodriguez, and
yeah,
two
and there's
people.
A bunch of guest directors. Yeah, three of the four are there, and they are really good. Robert Rodriguez and Quentin Tarantino are really good. The one he's in is by somebody else, and it's pretty funny. But let's see. Other than that,
but yeah, I mean, this is a movie that was shot on a shoestring budget in 1987.
Yes, it was,
and
that is probably a costume store Dracula costume.
Yeah. Oh, no question. actually, the guy who played Dracula,
probably the most money was spent on the costumes for the non-Dracula related monsters.
Yeah,
the guy who, one Dracula part where he's like this weird half bat thing that you've never seen.
Yeah,
that's the one thing this movie does do. It gives you monsters in states you've never seen them before, and it answers a lot of questions about monsters that people have always wondered.
Does it?
Yeah. What happens if you? How do you kill a wolfman?
That's only true.
One way to kill a wolfman.
Yeah, that's true. You can blow him up, and it won't work.
He comes back together.
Yeah, that part's pretty good.
What are those little toys where you push the bottom and all their body falls apart.
One of the signs that this is a smart movie that's aware of its budget is that after they blow the wolfman apart. You don't see him come back together, but you do see the shadow on the wall of him coming back together.
Yes.
There's also another part where Dracula turns into a bat, and you don't see it, but you do see a shadow of it happening.
Yeah, they're very smart.
Because that's way cheaper. That's so much less expensive.
By the way, okay, let's... okay.
Or you don't see the scary thing happening, but you do see everybody's faces reacting to it.
So let's talk about the nitty-gritty of the MacGuffin of the movie and the themes, and then we can just talk about the utter ridiculousness.
Yeah, no, and it's great because, like I said, the structure of this movie is undeniable. So we talk about MacGuffin. It's an action movie term. Alfred Hitchcock used it a lot. It generally means the thing that everybody's trying to get. It's kind of the goal item of the movie, the driving force of the movie. Mm-hmm. In Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark movie, which is the name of that movie,
it's just called,
in case you're curious.
Yeah, except now they changed it. Now it is Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark make it in line with the same. I have a poster it's in the garage, that is this big, that is just, it's the old original. It says Raiders of the Lost Ark, with the R, not the I, being all big.
Okay, good. We don't have to burn it.
Yeah, it's no Indiana
But anyway,
Jones
in that one,
Raiders.
The Ark of the Covenant is the thing. This one... super easy.
Yeah, classic MacGuffin.
It's that gem.
It's that gem.
That magical
amulet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One that opens a void to limbo.
Yep.
That they tried to suck Dracula in, which they don't even explain what's going on. They never, in that open, they have an opening scene.
Yeah.
They show this whole thing. There's a castle, and you're like, all right, there's angry villagers. What's going to happen here?
They don't explain nothing.
They don't explain anything. And then suddenly this girl's reading from the scroll, and what you assume is Van Helsing is being like, read, read. And then this girl, all these people getting sucked into this void. All these, like, they kill a couple, like, I don't know.
Yeah, there's some.
What do you call the female vampire? Like, because I know there's, obviously they're vampires, but what do you call, like, there's always role. The there's like the little coven of like Dracula. Like,
this is vampires. A question for the Underworld movies.
Yeah. Well, no. But like, it's specifically to Dracula movies. There's always like three or more women, usually three. And they're always female vampires that he has, like, people who he has drank the blood of and turned into lady vampires. They even have it in Bram Stoker's Dracula, the one with Keanu Reeves and Gary Oldman in it, the Francis Ford Coppola one.
I'm sure that if we had...
I don't know what they call it, because they're not harpies, because harpies are something different. No,
that's different.
But they're kind of like harpies? I don't know. I mean, we learned about harpies when we watched Van Helsing. I guess they're kind of like Google lady vampires.
What do you call Dracula's lady?
Maybe they are harpies. Maybe they are harpies. Maybe that's right. But anyway, they're fighting all these, and there's a portal that opens, and he keeps yelling at her to read stuff, and then all the stuff gets sucked into the portal, and then it just says the Monster Squad. You're what's going on in this?
Stuff is getting sucked out. The Brides of Dracula.
Okay, the Brides of Dracula.
Sure, let's go with all that.
There we go. That's fine.
It sounds like a setup.
So Dracula, sorry kids, Dracula's a polygamist? Interesting to know.
Yep.
Did not know that.
Sorry, man.
All right.
I mean, it's
weird in Transylvania.
It's just what it's called.
What's Transylvanian law on that?
I know a guy. we could ask him. But so I don't even know where we're going with this.
So we're just talking about how weird the opening is and how strange it just comes out of nowhere.
But it's kind of awesome because it just sort of throws you in. It's like, okay, deal with this now.
Yeah, and they don't really fully explain how Dracula survived it.
Nope,
really?
They don't.
He's just around.
There's also those skeleton monster guys. Are those zombies or are those? Is that something else?
They're undead. Who knows?
Okay, they're just the undead.
It seems like Dracula has dominion over multiple monsters in this movie. It seems like nobody messes with Dracula.
Yeah, yeah. Dracula's obviously king monster.
Yeah, he is. Very clearly.
Clearly.
In this.
Yeah.
Also,
that car.
Yeah, that car. Well, we'll get there. We'll go through the ridiculousness beat by beat because we have a lot to talk about in the ridiculous zone. But themes in the movie?
It's getting the monsters. Plan.
Yeah,
I felt like they were gonna try
to do a theme of family's important, but just like it got ditched halfway through.
Nope.
Mom and dad were in trouble, having marriage troubles because dad's a cop. But
hey, you know what? Maybe
they do kind of wrap that up because he sees like, look, the threats to the world
actually,
are real.
Actually, the moment where he like bursts into the house and saves, or you know, pulls the car up
and shoots Dracula.
Yeah. There's a shot from the interior of the house, and you can see that there are bags packed next to the door, and it is clear that she is about to leave and leave
him behind.
Yeah. So I think maybe she decides not to.
Jeez.
When she finds out that the wolf
man is
real.
The kids are running around.
Yeah. I mean, who even cares? She doesn't take care of her children at all. Phoebe the Phoebe and the other
one. Parents are terrible parents in this movie. You know what? I'm going to say this. It's hard for me to say this, but in my opinion, the man who smokes in front of his child and tells him it's okay to watch movies on the roof that you're not paying for is the better parent because he comes through more for those kids and cares more about those kids than the mom does.
To be fair,
the mom doesn't care at all about her son. She doesn't even know. Okay. I'm going to back the mic up. I'm going to shout this.
Ian's working some anger out of
here. Who doesn't know who Godzilla is?
It was 1987, man.
So what? What, does she live under a rock? What, has she been on Mars for 15 years?
Matthew Broderick hadn't come out and told everybody.
No. People knew who Godzilla was. Who doesn't
Ian,
know? Who
it's
doesn't
a
know,
movie.
Who doesn't know who Dracula is?
It's a good joke.
It's not a good joke. The Van Halen part's a good joke. So if anything, it's a setup for a better joke later on.
There you go.
It's just dumb. I'm just like, Mom, you're dumb. I understand why Dad doesn't want to come home.
Jeez. You're a terrible person.
Well, pop culture knowledge, obviously.
None of the women in this movie have anything other than a single dimension.
Except, well, yeah, I would say so. You're probably right. Yeah, the little, actually, okay. No, that's not true.
The little girl.
Phoebe does. Barely, Phoebe's got personality. She pushes the plot forward.
No, you're right. You're right. The little girl does. None of the, yeah.
Phoebe
right.
is the key to this whole plot.
That's true, actually. If it wasn't for her, nobody would have been friends with
we'll say Frankenstein's monster. I will monster. Say this. Sorry again, kids.
Bothers me every time.
Why didn't they just, it didn't say anywhere that a female virgin had to read it.
No, I think it did. They did just, it? Okay. We just didn't get all that.
Okay, because it just had a virgin. I'm like, I don't think any of these young boys.
No, I'm pretty sure that it, like,
if the tough kid hasn't, yeah, these other kids haven't.
Yeah, no, that I'm pretty sure that they don't say it, but the implication was that it has to be a lady.
Also, what? All right, what kid? What tough kid? Let's break that scene down. We were both fat kids growing up who got picked on.
Also, man, do they just call him fat kid?
They
almost
do
the whole movie.
It's literally,
and here's
like,
the thing.
It's literally like, let's just name the kids tropes.
No, well, and then here's the, like, straight up, yes, it is. But to the point that, like, at the end, he gets his comeuppance against the bully with the gun when he shoots the
when the bullies are hiding in the comic book store, you know, yeah, where the cool kids hang out.
Yeah, and he shoots the creature from the Black Lagoon, and he says, "My name's not Fat Kid, my name is Horace." But all of his friends have called him Fat Kid the whole movie.
That's his nickname.
Like, is he gonna threaten them,
like,
also?
Maybe it's like, it's okay because you're my friend.
You don't get to call me that.
You don't get to call me that because you're doing it in a hurtful way.
All right.
You're not
it's like if I called you, hey idiot, you'd be like, haha, it's my pal Ryan.
Yeah.
But if some bully called you that, you'd be like, hey, that's not nice words
you know,
to say to
bullies
me.
Bullies are a thing I constantly deal with. I'm on my way to the office and they're being like, they stop me in the street and beat me up.
Where's your milk money?
Take my lunch money. I'm like, I get lunch for free at some days. No, you don't.
Not today.
And they kick me. No, but okay. Let's break that scene down real quick.
Okay.
The fat kid's getting picked on for eating a Snickers.
Oh, yeah.
Wayne from the Wonder Years throws it on the ground. By the way, this is not the only time Wayne has been in a movie and played a jerk kid.
Dude, when you have a face that makes you look like a jerk kid.
But he's so good. That's his thing.
I mean, it sucks to be you.
Let him keep getting cast as a bully. Let it happen.
Yeah, poor kid, man.
I love him in Pee-wee's Big Adventure. It's one of the best parts.
Yeah, he's a jerk kid there too.
Yeah, he's so good. He acts like an adult.
I wonder if he had a complex with that, like, later.
He probably did. He probably had to. I haven't seen him cast in much.
He probably had years of therapy.
But okay, so they pick on him, they stomp on his candy bar. And then something that never happens in real life. A tough kid comes to the fat kid's defense. And not only that, which is that's amazing enough.
Yeah.
What made me even more like suspension of disbelief. Notice the monsters in the movie didn't bother my suspension of disbelief, but that he wants to hang out with these kids in their monster club. That would never happen.
No, the movie's a wish fulfillment movie.
He'd be lucky. Like, look, if I was fat kid, I'd count myself lucky that this bully decided to step in, or this other more tough looking bully decided to step in on my behalf, and I'd be like, thank you, and I'd walk away and never. I wouldn't be like, guys, you should ask the kid who saved me from getting beat up to join the monster club.
Well, maybe
because I'd be like, no, that kid's. If I say the, I'm counting my lucky stars. That guy already saved me once. I don't want him to know that I'm in this monster club. He'll probably think I'm stupid.
But I mean, maybe,
especially with the way these kids throw around curses in this movie.
Maybe he's, just a loner. Maybe he's just a sad loner who happens to be incredibly cool.
I think there's an off-camera scene that this is what happened. Do you want to join our monster club? That sounds stupid. We mean in this treehouse, and let me show you. They show him the treehouse, and they show how it lines up with the pretty girl's window.
Like, yeah, right.
All right, I'll join your monster club.
Sicko.
Got a camera up there. It's okay.
He's got the binoculars.
Let's talk about how this movie has dated. Because things that would probably have been PG. What was this movie rated?
Oh, I don't even.
Is it PG? PG-13?
I didn't watch with the kiddos.
Absolutely not.
It's
PG.
Yeah.
PG?
Parental guidance suggested.
Really? This movie's got virgins, talks about doing it.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. PG-13.
Okay.
Yeah.
Even still, they throw an F-bomb down, but not the F-bomb you're expecting. And they do it quite loosely. You're like, whoa, this movie is. This is like the older kids' Goonies. That's what it's like.
This is the rough and tumble Goonies.
It's the I always say poor man's, but I prefer the term bargain bin.
Yeah, this is the bargain bin Goonies.
Okay.
Goonies doesn't have as much blood either.
So these kids are all into monsters. Suddenly somehow Dracula comes to the United States on a plane with the body of Frankenstein's monster.
Yeah, you know.
We don't know where that came from.
You know what? Actually, I have an idea for a theoretical internal plot.
What's your headcanon for this?
In my headcanon, it's scary German guy's plane. He has a model of that exact plane in his house. He happens to know a lot, not just about monsters, because he's in a concentration camp.
Okay, well, we'll get there.
Good joke.
No, joke? No, that was heavy as hell.
Yeah, okay.
I was like, kids? Now I have... Great. I want to take my kids to this movie with monsters, and now I got to talk to them about the Holocaust. Why? Daddy, why does the man have a number on his arm? Which actually... I was just watching an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm where that is a main plot point. They hire a chef at a restaurant that they're all financing. And because one of the guys it's a long story, but basically he ends up having Tourette's syndrome. And we have an open kitchen. All the people in the restaurant can hear it. We have to fire him. And Larry's like, no, we can't. He's a survivor because he saw the number on his arm. So they hire him. They sign all the paperwork and everything. And he's in the restaurant and he goes, he's like, how was your day? He's like, terrible. I was two numbers off on the lottery. And he like wipes off the. You should watch that funny show. You'd like.
I've watched Curb before. It's just on the edge of comfort for me.
I can only watch like two or three, and then I'm like, okay, I'm done.
Yeah. No, I need to go like pet kittens or something.
So good.
In my headcanon.
What happens in your headcanon?
In my headcanon, secret German or evil German guy is not what obviously not related to Abraham Van Helsing, but an enthusiast, if nothing else.
Yes.
And was probably already involved with the plot to find this jewel and to open the portal and everything like that. And so was bringing Dracula and Wolfman here because he knew that they'd be able to. He knew they'd be able to track it down.
Well, what was on the plane was just Frankenstein's body.
And right.
And then Dracula presumably snuck on the plane.
But if he knows what's going on, he knows wherever there's Frankenstein, Dracula tends to show up.
Right.
And
right.
I know Dracula's going to be able to track down this thing that I haven't been able to find.
Right.
So I'll let him do it, swoop in at the last minute and take it.
Right.
You know, whether or not that's a good choice or not.
But I need someone young and nimble to put in harm's way. How about these children who are frightened of me?
But he definitely has a model of the plane. And actually, it's probably, production-wise, it's probably just the model of the plane that they use for that scene.
We're giving this movie a lot more credit. And presumably, maybe that's why he's so secretive in the neighborhood, is he doesn't want, like, he's like, look, I don't want to attract attention.
When they were meeting, I was like, he's Van Helsing. He's Van Helsing's great grandson or great 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 grandson. Yeah.
Yeah.
And when he wasn't, I was actually surprised.
Yeah, I was too.
I have retroactively decided. Turns out he was.
Yeah.
They just didn't want to say it. That would have been too.
Or easy. He's some sort of enthusiast or somehow some way.
And I also in my imagination also he's the reason that book ended up in the hands of the kids.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. He put it at some garage sale somehow or whatever it was. Okay. So. The way the monsters just all happen to kind of show up
together.
They just
kind of converge.
So,
it just happens.
There's a guy at the police station claiming to be a werewolf.
Love that bit,
actually. This town, by the way, where all these things congregate. Any town, USA.
Yep.
Does it even say the name of the town?
No, never.
It's like any town, USA.
Yeah, any town, Southern California.
Where there's a drive-in movie theater. There's a full-on museum.
Any town, Universal Backlot.
Yeah, it literally is probably like it's a movie backlot town.
Oh, no question.
Yeah.
Oh, I love the part where the werewolf is not a werewolf yet police station saying, lock me up, I'm a werewolf. And then they try to lock him up and he beats up a bunch of guys and then says, lock me up. And it's like, dude, which one is it?
And
like, do you want us to lock you up or not?
And then he
turns into a werewolf.
But they're trying to be like, sir, you're just acting great. You're going to go. Like, they're not.
No, but then he grabs the gun.
Because he figured that's going to get him to lock him up. I guess that's and then fair. They shoot him and kill him. And he's like, maybe this will be it. And then he comes back to life as the werewolf.
Yeah.
And then the mummy just gets up out of the museum.
Well, he just happens to be at that museum.
And then the Frankenstein monster
falls out of the plane.
Frankenstein's monster falls out of the plane and conveniently lands in the Gillman Swamp.
Yep.
Right outside of town.
Yeah, you know.
And then Dracula's like, oh, hey, man.
Turns out this town is where that amulet is.
But he's more like, hey, like I wanted the Wolfman here and the mummy here. I guess you're part of the gang now. Just happened. Because what if it landed, like, I don't know, on a football field somewhere?
Oh, yeah.
What if it landed in the drive-in, for God's sake? The Gillman would just be like, hey. Like, it just had like, hey, oh, another monster. Great. He can join the crew.
Oh, you
either that
oh,
or
oh, you.
Either
yeah,
that
of course you're coming.
Either that or he didn't get the invite.
Yeah,
no. Like all these monsters, by the way, without any, just decide to work together.
Well, you know, it's an understanding.
Like a D&D group. They're just like, well, I guess we're all going to work together now. All
right, quest crew, let's do this thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, they're just...
And then they reanimate Dracula with his special... With his lightning rod staff that doesn't
reanimate.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, they reanimate Frankenstein's
actually,
monster.
That's one of the most contrived and ridiculous parts.
By the way, if we call him
Frankenstein
at some point, even the kids call him Frankenstein and they know better.
Yeah, but I just love the fact that Dracula has a staff. For the express purpose.
He says old friend, like he knows this guy.
Like they've been through this a lot.
He's got a
lightning rod staff ready to use to jump.
I
want to
know that. What's that headcanon? How do they know each other?
Oh man, I mean they met ages back.
Did if we're gonna
obviously
we're gonna go with the first Frankenstein movie canon, did he escape the windmill and then Dracula's like, I'll take you under my
obviously Dr. Frankenstein worked for Dracula
or something
because Dracula wanted a friend that he wouldn't be tempted to consume, and so he's like make me an undead guy.
Right. He's like, look, I got all these brides, they're just nagging at me. I just need another dude to get a beer with.
Yeah,
a big glass of blood with. What can
But I don't want to accidentally just get the blood.
And I don't
want
to be I don't want to be tempted to do that, but I also don't want him drinking my blood. So I wouldn't want him drinking any of it. It's mine. Yeah. So I just need a cool dude to hang out with. At my party mansion.
Yeah. And if he kills you, no big deal. I mean, nothing.
If he dies, you know.
Let's just sign this contract. And also, he needs to be eternal.
Yeah. And if he dies, we'll just reanimate him.
Yeah, no, easy. Make me a staff that does that thing that you did in the tower. But I want to be able to carry it with me.
Get to work.
It needs to last forever also.
Also, I need to just take the Ghostbusters car, paint it black, put a skull on the front. Oh my god.
And it needs to be able to phase through police
cars. Oh my god, and I love that. I love the partner cop. The partner cop is his partner is the best thing ever because he doesn't believe any of it.
Oh, he's
even
the,
when it's right in front of his eyes.
Yeah.
And you know what? He gets his comeuppance. He explodes in a car.
Yeah, he does die, the only black man in the movie.
Well, he deserves it not because of that, but because he's a non-believer.
Yeah.
And what happens to non-believers?
They get blown up
with
dynamite.
Killed. They're the first ones to die.
Also, dynamite?
Yeah,
people just have it because
they don't take the threat seriously.
Oh, Dracula looks like he flew into the sporting goods store. I know, I'll light this stick of dynamite, not the gun I have as a
police
officer.
That's also that this movie. That's the other thing about this movie. This movie is a cartoon.
Yeah,
literally, Dracula could be like, you know what? I have C4, I have a bomb, I have all sorts of stuff. No, what does he use? The most cartoony bomb possible. Sticks of dynamite to blow up their monster club because he thinks they're in it. These children
good,
are
though.
Such
a
threat
explosion.
To them.
Yeah.
What did it say? Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. And the scene that had to happen because it's happened before in other horror movies, another horror movie homage.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Alucard called.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder. And they actually have the kids sit down and be
figured
like,
out. He's not just like, yeah, no, that's Dracula backwards. I've played Castlevania. I mean, this is 1987.
Well, not even that.
So maybe he hadn't played Castlevania.
Not even that. But like, wouldn't you be like, I really love monsters and I've seen every monster movie. Because this happens in Son of Dracula.
That's true.
Count Alucard.
Yeah, well, I don't know what to tell you, man.
And wouldn't you be like, it's like the Ed Wood joke, Dr. Dracula. He's a Dr. Dracula. Get it, Dr. Dracula? Get
no,
it?
No, I don't get it. Explain it to me more.
Well, it's Dracula, but it's
Dr. Dracula. Yeah, no. That's hilarious.
Oh god,
it's actually hilarious.
All
right. No, there's, it's so silly.
So. Let's talk about, I guess, some of the
action
beats.
They definitely blow up a lot of stuff with dynamite.
That's true.
Movie.
They do. And there's so much dynamite used in this. Like,
also,
apparently dynamite is available, much like plutonium is, according to Doc Brown, 1955. In every corner store, pick up some dynamite.
Also,
heavy Burger King. Heavy Burger King support
and,
on this.
And
movie.
Also Adidas.
Are there monster?
There's also heavy Adidas.
Yes. Are there Monster Squad, like, Burger King glasses that existed?
I doubt it.
That would be awesome.
I very much
that.
Doubt it. They would be very expensive. On eBay. No, one of the... So, besides that, this movie's got jokes.
Yes.
This movie is funny.
It does.
Like the kid... Oh, that dad, there's a monster in my closet. And the dad does the standard, like, get these monsters out of here.
Yeah.
And then, oh, man, that seems hilarious to me. Maybe it's like, just funny to me as a dad.
It is. To me, I laugh at all the things in this movie you're not supposed to laugh at. Like when Dracula picks up a little girl, and instead of just flashing his fangs, he says the best one of the best lines in the movie.
We're not going to repeat here on the show.
He says
what does he say? Give me the amulet. I'm going to replace it with a Halloween appropriate word that rhymes. He goes, give me that amulet, you little witch.
Yeah, it's...
Are you witch? Not even little. Witch. No, yeah. He literally calls a 5-year-old girl a word that rhymes with witch. And you're like, what? It's
pretty awful.
Oh, man. But I couldn't stop laughing because I'm like, that is... What? How is that allowed? How is I'm like, yeah, PG-13, this is appropriate.
Yep.
Calling children those names. Totally fine.
Or the part where the creature from the Black Lagoon steals that kid's Twinkie.
Yes.
Creature stole my Twinkie.
Twinkie.
Yeah.
Wolfman's got nards.
Well, and then, I mean, even Dracula gets in on it because Dracula blows up the Monster Squad clubhouse and he goes, meeting adjourned. Like,
jeez.
He's just...
So dumb.
It's every chance where there could be a snappy line, they've got a snappy line. Yeah. I mean, the mummy jumps onto the back of their Jeep as they're driving, and he's already got the bow and arrow ready to go to shoot. The mummy's wrapping against the tree.
Again,
and the mummy unravels. It's amazing.
A second thing that you never think about, which is that how do you kill a mummy? You just unravel him, apparently.
And he just turns into dust.
I guess because all the dust is held together. And a skull
on the street.
Yep, that's it. That's how you stop the mummy.
They stop everybody. It's so good. He's got the cool kid's got the stakes for Dracula's brides, and he just takes them out 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, with like a crossbow.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I love. Oh, that we lest we forget the prep montage. Or by the way,
with that song too.
Where everything's like we're getting weapons together, but one of the important parts that I didn't put together until later is the bully, the tough kid.
Yeah.
Goes to the 1-hour photo mat.
Yep.
And the reason he does it is because. They think the girl they've been peeping on, which is, I guess, one of the kid's sisters, right?
Yeah, it's the little kid's sister.
I guess she their window is set up. It's, you know, classic Animal House gag. Set up, but this one involves camera. They blackmail her to be the virgin to read this thing by being like, we'll put these pictures up at school. I'm like, you kids are monsters.
That's messed up.
It's like, but that was part of like the... We got to show the prep.
Yeah, yeah. The steal of the mom's silver spoon so we can melt them down shop class make them into bullets.
That's comparable to blackmailing someone with underwear photos.
It's terrible.
Dated. So dated.
Now they would be Snapchats.
Now they'd be like, forget these monsters. We're going downtown to the courthouse and I'm suing you for doing this.
Well, now they'd be Snapchat screenshots.
that's also really true.
The only difference.
Also,
lest we forget. The little girl teaches the Frankenstein how to talk like the 80s.
Yes.
And he says, bogus, before he takes out Dracula.
He also says boobs.
Yes, he does. when he looks in the camera.
This movie is not for children.
No, it's PG-13.
Yeah, it's not even for... I wouldn't even say it's appropriate for a 13-year-old to walk out of this and be like dropping all these words and references.
Well, Steve, but he doesn't count.
Oh, God. All right. What else? What else is there to say?
I mean, this movie's so tidy. It's really neat.
There's a haunted house portion that ends pretty quickly.
It ends real fast. They go, you know, they end up with a secret passage and they find, you know, it's got everything.
Yeah.
But it's just the sum of the parts. It's like, you know.
Let's put it this way. This would be a fun movie to watch. With your buddies or with your friends while you're drinking.
Yeah. This is a movie.
This is a good, like, let's have some beers and watch a dumb movie, or a good movie, honestly, to put on at a party.
Yeah.
Like, because no. Because
in the background.
Every once in a while, I'll be like, hey, that Wolfman just blew up.
But this is also a movie, like, it almost seems like made by 12-year-old boys for 12-year-old boys.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, if there's a target demographic, it's a 12-year-old male.
Absolutely.
And like, it. The plot is tidy and the structure is great, but like,
right.
It's dumb.
Yeah, it is.
It's dumb, it's but dumb, it's fun.
It's dumb fun.
It's dumb fun.
I would say watch it, but it's dumb fun. So what do you rate this movie then, Ryan?
It's hard actually because, I like, there are so many movies that are so much bigger that are so much, I don't know, quote unquote, more important that don't do the cleanness of the plot the way this one does. Mm-hmm. You know, where we don't, you know, we see Chekhov's gun goes off, you know, we get to the fireworks factory, all the cliches, this movie's got them and this movie does them. There's a reason that Shane Black became the guy who wrote every Hollywood action movie in the late 80s and early 90s, and it's because he knew how to write them. And this is an example of that. I feel like if you are... I wish that more Hollywood directors have seen this movie.
Yeah, I
feel like they should watch it, but like watching it by itself as an adult, it's, you know, it's extremely dated. It is the most 80s movie that I can think of right now.
I would say so.
It's a movie where there's two big songs. One of the songs is called Rock Till You Drop, and the other song is a rap with the plot of the movie.
It absolutely is.
And the Rock Till You Drop song is obviously done during the montage getting ready for them to fight the monsters.
I mean, I feel like, here's the thing. I feel like this movie is good for one watch. You watch it once.
Nah, I feel like this movie pays off.
But in this way, you watch it once seriously. Like, you really pay attention to it once. Oh, yeah. And any other time, you can just not, like, it's good to experience it once. At least once.
Yeah. I feel like you could come up with Rocky Horror Picture Show style interactions.
I'm sure there's a monster squad drinking.
This is how a cult movie is done.
Yeah, exactly.
This is it.
So what do you rate it then out of 10?
Oh man, I still can't like it's bad, but it's good. This is so bad it's good. Well, I don't know, man.
Rate it fairly.
I'm gonna give it a 5.
5?
The perfect amount of indecision. I can't decide.
All right.
5 just immaculate B-17 bomber models in this guy's house.
All right. I'll also give it a 5, too. I'm going to give it 5. I'm glad we didn't bring this up. I'm glad that you didn't use it because I was so worried you would. 5 Van Helsing thumbs up.
Oh, yeah.
That's the best part where the portal opens, all the monsters are getting sucked in, and who jumps out? Or like Dracula's getting sucked in, who jumps out? Or like he stops, but who jumps out? But Van Helsing, who you wouldn't know is Van Helsing unless you were paying close attention.
Yeah, that's
and he's
true.
Grappling Dracula, and the little kid's like, whoa, and he gives him a thumbs up.
And then he gets pulls sucked him into the portal, vortex. Yeah.
Along with Frankenstein in the.
Oh, that part was sad.
Yeah.
I feel like I was sad.
I mean, it tried to be.
I was like, oh, that poor little girl.
Now her giant man toy is gone forever.
And he also stole her stuffed animal.
She did. Oh, he did. All right. So Blockbuster, Lackluster.
Well, you give it, what was the number?
5. Oh, 5 you as give well. 5. Okay. I'm also on the same boat as you.
I wasn't paying attention.
5 Van Helsing thumbs up out of 10.
Yeah, no, I would say it is a Blockbuster.
I would say it's worth one watch. And so for that, at the very least, there's a drop of Blockbuster.
It's fun. Like, don't take it seriously.
No, not at all. This is, I think if you go into the movie with like no expectations or knowing it's going to be silly and dumb, you're going to enjoy it a lot more. I think I went into it with a little too high expectations, but looking back on it after some time to reflect.
Like,
if we had done it that day, I would have ripped this movie apart.
Oh, really?
But after some time to sit and reflect, I'm like, I guess it was pretty dumb fun.
It's dumb fun. Yeah, absolutely.
So let's move into Back at the Ranch. Any action movie news or things to talk about in the movie world that don't involve Harvey Weinstein being a monster?
Sure. Early reviews say that Thor is hilarious.
Yes.
Also, the Black Panther trailer.
Oh man! I mean, we were
so cool.
We were gifted with a lot of interesting and cool movie trailers that are comic book related. We talked a little bit about this on Four Color Commentary, but if you're not a listener, that we'll just kind of briefly recap our thoughts on the Black Panther trailer. Looks incredible.
Yeah, it's like full Afrofuturism, and it looks rad.
And following Ryan's Marvel theory, it looks like Fox and X-Men are taking a page out of the Marvel book. And the new X-Men movie, The New Mutants, is going to be kind of a horror movie.
Looks pretty
which
good.
Which is interesting. I'm interested to see how that turns out. I've never really seen a quote-unquote superhero horror movie before. That's a genre either. That doesn't exist.
It doesn't yet.
I mean, not yet, but it will soon. Or it does somewhere in an editing room somewhere.
Not a whole lot of, I mean,
not a whole
Star
lot.
Wars.
We're kind of just in anticipation mode right now. We're not kind of at the new, new section of movies. Although I was watching something on the Nerdist channel. They do a lot of like speculation based stuff, but they're talking about how Kevin Feige has, speaking of Marvel, since we just did talk so much about them, that they're talking about what's going to happen after that second Avengers movie. Cause they've announced there's 3 movies they have coming out in 2020, 3 of them.
Mm-hmm.
One is Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, obviously.
Yep.
But 2 other ones, they're being very hush hush about. Ooh. They're not saying anything about it. So I'm wondering, a lot of people were thinking is, are they going to reboot it? Is this going to be, because they kept saying like the Avengers movie is like the end of a 22 movie long cycle, like a conclusion of that. So people were like, are they rebooting it? What are they doing? And then so a lot of people were really worried. James Gunn stepped up and goes, no, it's not a reboot. It's just that things are going to be different
and Guardians of the Galaxy 3 really kicks off the beginning of a new story.
No.
Like a new thing.
Interesting.
And what everyone is thinking is the one thing that Marvel hasn't really done, but they've been teasing.
Uh-huh.
And they've do it every so often, but they haven't done it on a large scale yet, mm-hmm. like they do. A lot of movies seem to take place on Earth.
Yep.
Ryan, what if that wasn't the case?
What if the movies didn't take place on Earth?
What if Marvel just goes full on cosmic?
Oh.
Like basically everything
gets
is like
weird.
You know what? We'll come back to Earth every so often for like, you know, that way. And they were saying a good theory of why that could be is people like Chris Evans, people like Robert Downey Jr. then get a break from having to do Iron Man and Captain America so much.
Space isn't as much of a thing.
But like you get. They can still show up in movies that take place on Earth, like another Spider-Man movie, or if they do another Avengers movie or another Cat movie. Like, but you have this universe of characters we haven't ever even explored yet, as opposed to all the people who are still here on Earth.
There is a new trailer for Pacific Rim 2.
Yes. Oh man.
It looks good.
We didn't talk about that last time. Oh man, it just looks ridiculous.
I love that they got
looks silly.
My favorite guy, John Boyega.
It looks so silly.
Stacker Pentecost's son.
I love the
perfect.
I love the one Jaeger that has like the chain.
Chain it's hand. Got like a chain.
Morningstar style thing. Like oh man, and there's just and the monsters now can combine together into a bigger monster.
Voltron it up.
Which leads me to believe that the climax of this movie might include either a bunch of robots fighting one big monster, or potentially that's not the end of the movie and they have to build all the Jaeger parts back together into one even bigger robot.
I also heard a rumor about a bad robot.
Oh boy.
I don't know.
Okay, because we learned last time, turns out it's aliens from another dimension.
Yeah.
That they get a hold of one of them or something.
I
they
don't
turn
know,
it evil.
Man.
Oh man. Oh, this is getting good.
I'm super excited about that.
I'm feeling this.
It should be a lot of fun.
But there hasn't been a lot right now. We're kind of in the middle.
Stranger
in the middle
Things is coming.
Yeah, we'll see how that turns out. I'm kind of tempted to like, because we have how many days? What, a week? We have a week until it comes out. I'm kind of tempted to rewatch it. Because I haven't seen it in like a while.
Yeah, I mean, it's right there. It's only 10 or 12 episodes.
It's true.
I just finished the original run of Twin Peaks.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did.
How'd you enjoy that ending?
Boy, that ending.
Can you imagine having to sit on that for 22 years?
Or maybe never.
or like never at all?
Yeah.
Man, that ending, right? That last episode's the best part.
Oh, man. It's a good show, but it was
Did you watch it?
She loved it.
Was she just like, what?
She was like, when can we start season 3? And I'm like, no, we have to wait.
You have to wait. To be honest, as a huge Twin Peaks fan, you can watch season 3 without really having watched Fire Walk With Me. I'm going to tell you this. Fire Walk With Me is not incredible. It's okay.
Yeah, that's what I've been reading about it a little
bit.
And
as long as you kind of read a synopsis of it. Yeah, as long as you read a synopsis of it. Because there are characters that are in it that do feature in the third season.
It's got David Bowie, doesn't it?
It does. Doing a really bad kind of southern-y accent.
Oh, boy.
And then,
oh, man.
Yeah, you thought, okay. Remember the weirdness of the last episode of season 2?
Yeah.
Imagine that turned up to 11.
No, see, I'm okay with that.
Because that's what season 3 is. Ryan, there's a whole episode where, I'm going to tell you this, there's a whole episode where there are none of the characters you know.
Good.
All
right.
At all.
I'm down.
Well, maybe there's one, but it's...
I'm into it.
Episode 8 or 9 is like the artsiest thing ever. And the other nice thing about about the new season is most of the episodes, they feature, I don't know whose idea it was, probably David Lynch, but they all feature like a performance from a different artist.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they have like indie artists and stuff. Yeah, they all play at the Roadhouse.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, but they have bigger ones too.
Oh, nice.
They have a couple bigger well-known names, but there are a lot of like indie artists and stuff. If you want that, by the way, that soundtrack is available on Apple Music.
I'm sure
actually, I bought it too because I think there's a couple tracks that aren't. But yeah, that's the one other thing about Twin Peaks no one talks about. And actually, when
the music's good,
it's so good, right?
Yeah.
And that's the thing when my roommate Matt started watching it, he was like, oh, "This music is so cheesy." I'm like, "Yeah, but it's so great."
Yeah. No, that's my wife was like, "This is so cheesy," and I'm like, "It's so good."
And I watched it. I didn't tell you this, but I watched it, and I watched that in high school. And
my wife watched it originally when she was a little kid,
right,
with her siblings watching it.
My dad's a big David Lynch fan and also a big Twin Peaks fan.
I can see that.
But I watched it in high school when they came out on DVD. Be surprised when it came out on DVD, the pilot didn't come with season 1.
Oh boy.
So we had to find like this weird, like really bad version of the pilot. I think I ended up renting it on VHS from the library because that's the only way I could get it.
Yeah.
And so I watched it, and I remember I went to my high school grad night, which was like a garbage night.
Yeah.
It was just like there's a dance floor and some video games.
I also went to a grad night,
but they had a hypnotist show.
Oh boy.
And the music he used to relax people was the theme from Twin Peaks.
That wouldn't work.
And I was like, would not, if he's really hypnotizing people, that would not work on me. I'd be like, nope.
Nope, sorry. That's...
When's the little guy come out and start dancing? Oh, man. But I'm glad you finally watched it.
I think my favorite part of the whole thing is that
season
part.
Two is definitely not as good as season one. Just
no,
because,
but it has some fun bits.
It does.
It does. I think my favorite scene.
You got to read the book now. Oh, ooh, gotta get you the book.
Do I?
Yeah. The book is really good. You like it. All right. Like it.
There's a like guidebook that I was reading about that came out recently.
It answers a lot of questions.
Oh, the Diary of Laura Palmer, that book?
Don't read that one. No, I'm talking about the I have it actually in my closet. I'll show it to you. What's it called?
The Secret History of Twin Peaks
that
or whatever.
And then another one come out called The Final Dossier. Yeah, that comes out
nice.
Yeah, I listened to the audiobook version of it, by the way. I don't know if you're
not an audiobook.
You can't
guy.
Do audiobooks?
I mean, no. Not really.
But you can do podcasts though, right?
Yeah.
Can you do radio dramas?
Like, yeah. I like those.
Okay. So if you like radio dramas, you'll like the audiobook of this because it has different characters doing the voice. They even have Kyle MacLachlan do a part that's Agent Cooper.
Good.
And they have the different people do the voices. So
yeah. And also now I get a lot more jokes from Gravity Falls.
Yes, you do.
Because he was very clearly a huge fan.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's what I do.
Well, you heard Gravity Falls originally he wanted for the character of Bill Cipher. We're way off topic.
Yeah.
For the character of Bill Cipher, Alec Hirsch wanted David Lynch.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not surprised.
And he couldn't get him, so he just did a ridiculous voice.
But yeah, I'm glad you've enjoyed. Well, get ready, season three.
All right. So,
hoo boy.
what are we watching next on this podcast?
All right. Well, to take us out of Son of Monster Mash Monthtober, we have another video game theme movie which we watched. Another series.
No, another series. Ian,
another series.
I've been burned.
We're almost.
No,
at,
I've been burned too many times.
You're
going to
get
series.
Burned again.
Underworld. The Marvel Cinematic Universe was 9 months of my life.
But Ryan, we're almost out of serialized movies to watch every October. We've watched all the Blade movies.
Uh-huh.
We've almost watched all the Mummy. We watch all the Mummy movies that are worth watching.
Okay.
To be honest.
Yeah.
We've almost watched all of the Underworld movies.
True.
Yay.
What's left?
Well, there's one giant genre we haven't really tackled, and that's zombies for the most part.
All right. 28 something.
No, those are more scary. We need something that's action packed.
The best thing
is an action packed movie based off a video game.
Perfect.
That has zombies in it. So Ryan, next time to end up Son of Monster Mash Monthtober. We're going to watch the first Resident Evil movie. Hey, it's got Mila Jovovich in it. You like The Fifth Element.
Oh, man.
Yeah, this movie's not going to be great.
Hey, well,
but it begins a new series of like six or seven movies. We're covered for years now. Years, Ryan.
No!
Remember when I said that with the first Underworld movie? We're covered for years. And then I'm like, they just won't stop. I think actually, though, I think the Resident Evil movies are done. I'm pretty sure.
I bet they reboot it.
Who knows? So next time to kill off Monster Mash, the son of Monster Mash Monthtober, send him to hell just like we did with his dad and his vampire mom, which is the second one. We're going to go ahead and watch Resident Evil. So thank you so much for joining us for Monster Squad. And join us next time for Resident Evil. And remember,
whether it's blockbuster
or lackluster,
we're the Super Action Bros.
This has been a production of the Stuff and Things Podcast Network.
Exclusively at stuffandthingsnetwork.com.